Good morning, church. It does work on the right, doesn't it? I noticed that Kanda was having a little trouble getting it bent right last week. She worked on that thing quite a bit. Well, it's good to see you all this morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord. So, for the last 2 weeks, I've been in my daily Bible time with and in Deuteronomy. So we're going to be in Deuteronomy today. I noticed as I was going through Deuteronomy that they kept repeating a lot of things that talked about the blessings of the Lord in our lives, and just there's a lot of it. Just he kept repeating, so that, as you know, the Ten Commandments are there in chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, and then he talks about the law and the commandments and how we should, if we keep them, if we are obedient to keeping his laws, it talks about so many different blessings. And I want to go over those. He wants us to look at those this morning. So I've titled the lesson today, Blessings for Obedience. You can put anything you want there for a title, the blessings of the Lord. There's just a lot of different ways that you can title it, but that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get into it. Father, I thank you for your blessings. We thank you, Father, that you loved us so much, that you made a way for us to be blessed. In all that we do, you've provided blessings for just about everything that we do, and Lord, we want to look at those this morning. We want the body of Christ to see, to understand that we can live in your blessings, that you have provided a way through Jesus Christ for all that we need. So, Father, as we look at your word this morning, I ask that you'll speak through me, that I'll not get in your way, but that I'll allow you to move and do what you want to in the body of Christ today. Lord, give us ears to hear what you're saying to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. And I had the privilege of teaching the youth this morning, and I noticed as I was doing that there's a verse earlier that I didn't have included in my message today. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 2, says, "The Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He has watched over your journey through this vast desert these 40 years. The Lord your God has been with you, and you have not lacked anything." This is Deuteronomy is right after the children of Israel came through the Red Sea and left Egypt. The miraculous journey through the Red Sea, and then they wandered in the desert because of disobedience. They had to spend some time learning what God was trying to teach them. And I guess some of us are hard-headed like that as well, and stubborn. It takes a while for us to catch on to things. We need repetition. We need to hear it over and over. And so he's in Deuteronomy. I'm not going to read. You all know the Ten Commandments. I'm not going to read those to you this morning. But the Ten Commandments were the law. They were, that was the what they carried in the Ark of the Covenant. When the Lord wrote for Moses with his finger on the stone, the Ten Commandments, why Moses brought them back down the mountain, they put them in the Ark of the Covenant and carried them with them as they traveled. You've heard me say before, through the Ark of the Covenant, there was many blessings because there was one time when the Ark of the Covenant went to a family that took care of it for a while, and that family was very blessed while they carried the Ark of the Covenant while it was with their family. And so we see God's blessings. We're going to start today in 5. I want to read just a few verses here at the end of chapter 5. So let's begin here with verse 29. It says, "Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always, so that it may go well with them and their children forever." So from that verse, I can tell that it's important that we walk in obedience. There's an important part of our lives as we walk in obedience. He says, "Go tell them to return to their tents, but you stay here with me so that I may give you all the commands, decrees, and laws that you are to teach them to follow in the land I am giving them to possess. So be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess." So there's three different things here that happen if we obey. We live, so it gives us life. We prosper. So prosperity is one of the blessings that the Lord gives us. We'll see a little later on a verse that talks about that He's the one who gives us the ability to get wealth. He's the one that teaches us that gives us that. And so we're going to see all those things. And then the third thing that it mentions there is it's going to prolong our day. So obedience can give you long life as another blessing that the Lord gives, that has for us. Chapter 6, I've used that one before. I'm not going to get into chapter 6 at all. Let's turn on over to chapter 7. So in chapter 7, he's driving out the nations before them. They've learned that God is protecting them, taking care of them as they go to war. And we're going to begin in verse 11 of chapter 7. So it says, "Therefore, take care to follow the commands, decrees, and laws I give you today. If you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them, then the Lord your God will keep this covenant of love with you as he swore to your forefathers." So it's just like we do with our children. If we love them, we'll discipline them. We'll care for them. We'll teach them what they should know, what they should learn. And I've seen what happens when we have undisciplined children. And most of you have seen it too, as we've seen in our schools today. It's become a mess. When I was a child in school, there weren't any children with labels. We were all disciplined children, and we knew what we should do, what was right and what was wrong, and we did those things. And it's totally opposite today. I've noticed, and I talked about this with the youngsters in Sunday school this morning, I've noticed that since the Bible and God has been taken out of school, that it's become chaotic. It's not near as peaceful and fun as it was when I was in school. When I was in school, we actually had devotions on the PA system every morning. We had somebody would read scripture, somebody would pray. And I can remember being that person, going up to the office and either reading a verse or having the prayer for the day. That was part of our schooling. That was part of school that we had. So everybody heard who God was. Everybody knew who Jesus was and what the love of God meant in our lives. And for me, I learned it at home as well. I learned it at church, at home, at school. I learned it everywhere. And that's the way it should be. That's the way God intended for it. We'll see a verse here, and I'm going to get to that here in a minute. It talks about and we just passed over one in chapter 6 there where he talks about talk to your children, tell it to them when you're on the road and when you're sitting at home and when you're standing up and just all the time, talk to your children about the Lord. And so we learned, teaching the youth back there to be disciples, to not only learn the Word of God, but to then train others also to walk in favor with God and in love with God. So there again is talking about taking care to follow the commands and the decrees. And if we pay attention to them, that the covenant, that God's love covenant will be there for us as it was with our forefathers. It says he will love you and bless you and increase your numbers. He will bless the fruit of your womb, the crops of your land, your grain, new wine and oil, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks in the land that he swore to your forefathers to give you. You will be blessed more than any other people. None of your men or women will be childless, nor any of your livestock without young. The Lord will keep you free from every disease. He will not inflict on you the horrible diseases you knew in Egypt, but he will inflict them on all who hate you. So there's a difference between people who love us and people who hate us. They will be treated differently by the Lord. And so as they were going to conquer the nations that were living where the Lord was promised them they could live, they were ordered by the Lord to destroy everything, destroy everyone that was there, and so that they wouldn't begin to serve other gods and so forth. I want to go over now to chapter 8. And I told you to begin with that he's repeating this over and over all the way through Deuteronomy. Just about in every chapter we can see where he says to be careful to follow the commands. Chapter 8 starts with that. But I want to begin in, I want to look at verse 3. First of all, in chapter 8, it says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out. Your feet did not swell during those 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. So as we're going through our life, every day, the Lord disciplines us. And trains us, teaches us the way that we should go. One of the best ways to learn God's will and what he wants in your life is to spend time in the Word. Spend time with him every day. Don't allow a day to go by that you don't get into the Word and spend some time with the Father there. Down in verse 16, he says, he gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourselves, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant which he swore to your forefathers, as it is today. Some of us, it took a while to learn that it wasn't by our strength that anything happens, but it's through God's strength. And it was a great day for me when I finally figured that out. I depended on myself a lot of things when I was younger. And I realized that it wasn't really me at all, but it was God's strength in me that gave me. He's the one that gives us the ability to work. He's the one that teaches us how to work with our hands and do the things that He trains us to do. We have to have a job, something that we love to do so that we can provide for our families. And it's God that gives us that wisdom, that opportunity to do. And I thank God. I thank God for the job that He gave me, because it's my whole life has been fun. I've enjoyed the work that I do. And if you don't enjoy your work, you'll be most miserable, because that's what we do most of our lives. Now I want to go over to chapter 11. Just right on over. I want to look at verse 1 first of all, and then we're going to go on to 13. Verse 1 is a repetition. It says, "Love the Lord your God, keep His requirements, His decrees, His laws, His commands always." Verse 13 says, "So if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today, to love the Lord your God and serve Him with all your heart, with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine and oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied." So I've noticed that we're already getting quite a bit of rain this spring. We've had to work in the mud quite a bit already. But every year, God sends rain in the spring and the fall. And, of course, usually about every week in the summer. We had quite a few weeks last year without rain, didn't we, Neil? the hay didn't grow very well this year. It was kind of sparse, kind of scarce, or last year, I mean. But we're starting out with a lot of rain this spring. We got watered with snow this year as well, so the Lord sends the rain. He's the one that provides for us. This is a farm community, so we've always had to depend on rain, haven't you? Anybody who is used to farming, I can remember spending a lot of time in the summertime baling hay when I was a kid. And we would love a day that it rained, because we could go get on our bicycles and go for a bicycle ride in the rain. And we did, because it was just a day we got to do something besides handle bales all day long. when you bale 30,000 bales in a summertime, it doesn't take long to get tired of it. And so that was my life when I was young. We had lots of cows to feed, and it took a lot of hay to feed them. But God provides the rains that we need to grow, so that we can provide food for our families. He said, "Be careful," in verse 16, now I'm in 16, "or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them." He had to tell them this because of the land they were going into was a land full of idolatry. And so they had to, he said, "Be careful, or you'll want to go and serve other gods rather than serving me." It says, "Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and He will shut the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will not yield produce. You will soon perish from the good land the Lord is giving you. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord your God swore to give your forefathers, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth." So again, the promises that He gives us here to prolong our days, to take care of our families. But These words here are the ones that are repeated. They were in chapter 6. They're again here in chapter 11. About telling them to our children. Teach your children to love the Lord, to walk in His ways, to do His commands. As he goes on there, he says, if you carefully observe all these commands I'm giving you to follow, to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to hold fast to Him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and all you will dispossess nations larger and stronger than you, and so on. It goes on and on. Verse 26 says, see, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. So for disobedience, there was a curse. There was as many curses for disobedience as there was blessings for obedience. I'm not going to read through all the curses. You need to take time and do that, though, because it could affect you if you don't live and walk in obedience with the Lord. But it's talking about the curses as well. And they are listed, I believe, in 8, 9 maybe. Blessings, and I didn't write down where they were, but they're in Deuteronomy. I'm not sure which verses they're in anyway. But he talks about the curses here, and they're listed. So it says, the curse if you disobey the commands and turn from the way that I command you today by following other gods which you have not known. So now I want to go back to chapter 28. Okay, the curses are in 28. We're going to look at 1 through 14, and the curses are what follows the blessings. So this is the chapter that I got the title for our lesson today from. It talks about blessings for obedience here. And so it starts out again, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth, and all these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. That doesn't really leave any place out. So that's all there is city and country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You'll be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven directions. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land He is giving you, and He will establish you as His holy people, as He promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. Then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground in the land He swore to your forefathers to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, storehouses of His bounty, to send rain on your land in season, to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you to this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. So, again, a repetition of the blessings that he has for his people who love him, who walk in his ways. It says, however, there in verse 15, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. So, as the children of Israel turned away from the Lord and began to walk and in other ways, follow other gods, they had to go back into the desert. They had to go and wander around for another 40 years before they could learn to walk in the ways of the Lord again, before they came back to do what he wanted. In chapter 32, I love this chapter just because this is the Song of Moses, and I don't know that I've ever preached on the Song of Moses. But as I was reading down through this, and I'm not going to go through this whole song because it's very long. It's the whole chapter of 32. But I found a verse in here as I was reading through it that really blessed me, because it's the song that they've introduced to us here recently about honey in the rock. It's in chapter 32. Verse, I want to look at verse 1 and 2 first. It says, listen, O heavens, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching fall like rain, and my words descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. So God's word is to us like the rain is to our crops. But over in verse 13, he says, he made him ride on the heights of the land, fed him with the fruit of the fields. He nourished him with honey from the rock and with oil from the flinty crag, with curds and milk from herd and flock, with fattened lambs and goats, with choice rams of Bashan and the finest kernels of wheat. You drank the foaming blood of the grape. So Moses is just talking about the way the Lord took care of them and how they got honey out of a rock. I thought that was pretty neat. I didn't realize that that was a verse of Scripture until I read in here. And I love that song as we sing it. Honey from the honey in the rock, and it's also as I got to looking, it's also found back in the Psalms, in Psalms Psalm 81:16. So if you're interested in reading it a couple times, it's also back there. So remember to walk in obedience to the Lord. God's word is so important for us. His commands, his laws, his decrees are what we live by. That's life to us. That's what makes us live and have vibrant lives in the Lord. Remember to teach your children to walk with the Lord. What it says, it doesn't really leave out any time that we're not supposed to be teaching them. We're to be training them all the time. We were taught as children that we weren't really our parents always had an input in our lives. We didn't just go our separate ways when we were 18 years old. We did all get jobs when we were 18 and began a life of our own, but our parents were also a part of that life. I went back to my dad often for advice, and our children come to us often for advice. We don't just send them off into the world when they turn 18 and say, it's up to you from here on. We're not going to help you anymore. I've seen families do that, and it's not God's plan. God's plan is for us to nourish our families and our children for life, not just till they're 18. And our adults in the eyes of the world, where they're going off on their own and doing their own thing. But we've trained them to walk in his ways, and that way it makes their life then much easier as well. So if any of you have prayer needs this morning, we're going to give opportunity for that. Have the praise team come and share a final song. Remember to pray for Dylan's family this week as he's lost his mother. And just lift them up when losing mom's a hard time. And also continue to pray for Timberly and her children, the Hoover family and the Morris family, as they lost a loved one as well, as we lost Brian. So we'll just lift them up in prayer. You all know what it's like to lose loved ones, and you know what it takes to get through that. So if the Lord tells you to be something special for them, do that as well. Don't neglect what God has you do for His kingdom. If any of you have prayer needs, Matt and I will be here to share and help you with that. If anybody has never accepted the Lord, I don't see anybody that hasn't ever accepted the Lord, but I just want to give that opportunity. If you want to do that today, we'd love to lead you to the Lord Jesus Christ and bring you to repentance in that. So go ahead.